There's just such a sweet presence in here today. Wow. Praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful for the anointing of God. You know, and I just didn't want to dumb it down with my words. Praise God. So I just let God be God and hallelujah and, you know, see what He wants to do. But I believe we got a message today, and praise God for it. I'm going to attempt to get through it. Praise the Lord. So with your help, we'll get to the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. He loves us. He loves us so much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're glad you came to church today. Praise the Lord. I would imagine you are, because if you weren't, you probably wouldn't keep coming back. Praise God. There's some good reasons for us to be here. Amen. You know, sometimes the message is bold. Sometimes it's softer. Sometimes it's bold again. Hallelujah. But we know that, you know, wherever the word's preached, that lives truly do change. And that, you know, it matters if we connect to it. Obviously, it matters. It our lives only change to the degree that we connect to the word that's preached. Amen. So it was the same in Jesus' time. It was the same before Jesus. And I imagine, because God said that He doesn't change, it'll be the same after Jesus. So the amount that we connect to the word, the amount that we receive from the word, is the amount we receive from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I preached a message last night, and I know I say this often, but you know, sometimes it's just when you know something. Listen, I don't come up with this stuff on my own. I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm not talented enough to do that. I'm not good enough to do that. But the revelation that's in the Word of God is just absolutely astounding to me. And I preached a message last night in Corey that I really just highly suggest, if you get a chance. I know I've said this before, but seriously, if you get a chance, listen to this one. Because the direction in it, I said it there last night, but I believe it. It was bigger than just for Corey. Hallelujah. Again, you know, I know better than to think of myself as anything special, in the sense that I think that I come up with something or get prideful about that stuff. I really try not to, and because the thing is I know that unless the Lord works through me, I can't do anything. So if something good comes out of my mouth, well, praise the Lord. If it blesses somebody, that was God's doing. It wasn't my doing. I was just the vessel which He chose to use. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know about vessels that get discarded, right? There's a whole there's this whole section in the Pacific Ocean. They call it the Great Pacific Garbage Dump or something like that. And it's where this place where the currents just bring all the garbage that's floating around the oceans, just brings it into one area. And it's huge. It's like bigger than Texas. Just floating around out there, and it's just garbage. It's just plastic, you know, and a lot of plastic bottles and stuff like that. Well, what's a plastic bottle other than a vessel that was used to carry something and then discarded because it was no good? Amen. Well, I want to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. I want to be a vessel that continues to be used, so I don't get prideful thinking that the vessel had anything to do with it, because the vessel is discardable. Hallelujah. The vessel can be thrown away. It can be, and you can get another vessel if you need one. Amen. So I'm just going to be a vessel that just continues to be used. Praise the Lord. And that's the way we should all live. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. He is setting us free. He's taking us into new places. You know, I want to remind you, speaking of the slick text, I sent out one, you know, a few weeks ago, because it was, I spoke it on my spirit, amazing miracles in Mayville. Hallelujah. We need to be speaking that. You know, that God can prophesy something, but just because God prophesies something doesn't mean that something comes to pass. We have a part to play in that. Amen. And so we determine whether or not we're going to walk in that or not. So if we want to see miracles, then we need to claim it. So when we think about it, we need to just say, amazing miracles in Mayville. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank You for the miracles. We thank You for these things coming to pass. Amen. And as we believe God for things, you know, it's the same thing when we talk about the building program or we talk about the quarry work or anything. These things don't get done unless somebody connects to them and helps them to be done. Amen. Some we know that God works through us. With us, actually, we learned that last night, that we are co-laborers with Christ, amen? Meaning that nothing that God is going to do on the earth gets done without people getting involved with it. And so God's miracle, so often we're waiting for God to move, and when God is waiting for us to move, that's when His miracle working power meets up with us, is when we step out in faith in anything. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be just in the church. It can be in your own home. It can be in your own finances, in your own life. Hallelujah. You know, people that want peace in the home, the Bible says that you need to create peace if you want peace. Amen. So if you're a husband and wife that aren't getting along and you just don't know why, one of you got to decide at one point, I just got to make peace here. Because I got to be the one. Somebody's got to just step up to be the one to do it. Amen. And that's the way faith works. Somebody's got, God will put out the call, but not everybody will come to the call. Amen. But the ones who do are the ones that get blessed. Amen. And we want to be those that are blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. So we need to hook up with that. Amazing miracles in Mayville. We have to realize that God will send people to a certain place like he sent us to Mayville. We didn't originally live in Mayville. Some of you don't live in Mayville now, and that's fine. He sent you here too. And so we're sent ones. We're people that are sent out. And so if we're sent somewhere, then God's got a purpose for us being there. Well, when we're sent, there'll be direction for those who are sent to continue in the work. And that's what we're doing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we're doing together. That's what we're doing as a body. That's what every time you put in money in that offering, praise the Lord. I'm not asking you for any more. I'm saying every time you have, you've hooked up to that. You said, yes, I'm going forward in that vision. And then and then the Lord can bless you for that. Amen. He can operate in your life. Every time that you've sat there in church, even when you didn't necessarily want to be there, or when it wasn't convenient, or when it was hard, and you were sitting there anyways, and you said yes to the word that was preached because you recognized that it came from the word of God, and you said, yes, Lord, that's true. Hallelujah. You connect with that, and you receive from that, and then God can bless you. See, that's the way that it works. That's why I always endeavor to step up as far as God's concerned. I always endeavor to go to the next level as far as God's concerned. I ain't trying to impress anybody. I ain't trying to be cool. I'm not trying to be look like I got it together. Praise the Lord, because I don't have it together. But the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, he's got it together. Amen. And as long as I follow him, as long as I get in that flow, as long as I follow that direction, praise the Lord, then all the things that I need, they come to pass. Because God's got a good plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the thoughts and the plans that he thinks towards us. He knows the plans that he set in motion for us. And he says that we can walk in them if we want them. Amen. And sometimes it just takes somebody wanting it bad enough. It just takes somebody desiring it bad enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's people that run races all the time. There's a lot of people that race, but the one who gets to the finish line is the one who wanted it the worst. Amen. I believe that wholeheartedly. Why? Because you can take somebody who is nobody and put them in, on course for something. They want it bad enough, then they get there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Glory to God. Today's message is called Live As You Go. Amen. Live as you go. Praise the Lord. And that's going to make more sense, I think, as we go on. And if it doesn't, well, praise the Lord. Hopefully the message makes sense anyways. So even if the title doesn't get us there, we'll get there by the message. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Hebrews 10:38. And we're going to be talking today about living in faith. We talk a lot about living in faith, but today we're going to talk about it from a different angle. And how do I know it's a different angle? Because it's a different message that the Lord gave me. Praise the Lord. Some scriptures, maybe all the scriptures, I don't know, you'll recognize. Some of you may recognize all of them. Some of you may recognize some of them. It doesn't matter about that. All that matters is what the Lord is saying through them today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:38. I love the scripture because it tells us so much. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Amen. The just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. You thought you lived by breathing, but no, the just live by faith. Hallelujah. The just will live by faith. You thought that you lived by eating, but no, you didn't. You live by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in, and of course, this isn't talking about just existing like we just exist. Yes, you have to breathe. If you stop breathing, you can use all the faith you want, but you're going to die. Amen. If you stop eating, you can use all the faith that you want, but you're going to die. Amen. Praise the Lord. You stop taking care of yourself. If you just sit around watching TV, you can use all the faith that you want, but you're going to die. That's not what it's talking about. The faith, the just shall live by faith. The word just literally means righteous, or as we said last night, acceptable, that state which is acceptable to God. What God looks at, when he looks at you as just, he looks at you as acceptable. It doesn't mean you're perfect. You know, we talk about righteousness in church. Christians like to talk about righteousness, and a lot of the world thinks, oh, you're so self-righteous. No, we're not self-righteous, but we are righteous by God, and we have to understand what righteous means. It means I am acceptable to God because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he did. But I am also acceptable to God by how I live. If I live by faith, then I become acceptable to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we want to live as we go. Amen. That's really what I'm meant by the title of this message. You know, there's so many people that go, but they aren't living. We need to live as we go. Amen. We need to live in that righteousness of God. We need to live in the blessing of God. We need to live in the direction of God. We need to live in the assurance of God. Amen. Because don't you want to get to the other side? You say, well, I don't know, Pastor Jeff, what's the other side? I mean, some said yes, but the rest of you, I know what you were thinking. And you were thinking, I don't know, because I don't know what's on the other side. Amen? The ones that said yes are the ones that are already in faith. The rest of you, we've got to get you caught up. Hallelujah. We're going to get you caught up, because on the other side of whatever God has is something good. Amen? God has blessing for us on the other side, but we have to understand that we have to get there by our choice. Amen? Praise the Lord. The just shall live by faith. Living in faith is a lifestyle. Amen. It is not something you try. It is not something you have done. It's what you do and what you continue in. It is not something what you've tried. You know, people say, I tried that faith business. No, you haven't, because you tried it. You said it in your own words. You told me you didn't. Faith isn't trying. Faith isn't, oh, I'll just try it once. Faith is a lifestyle choice. It's that I am going, this is the way I'm living now. I'm totally different. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to live any other way ever again. This is how I'm living. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you may stumble, and then it doesn't look like that. But see, true faith says, this is the way I'm going. Amen? Regardless of what happens, this is where I'm going. Amen? Praise the Lord. Faith is not lying. Faith is believing God will get you through to the other side, even when you yourself can't. It is not something you try. It's not something you have done. People, people who once lived in faith not continue in faith as they get older. And that's just rubbish. That's not the way that God has designed us or made us to be. God intends us to live our life, our entire life, through faith, in faith. We are never to stop living in faith. Why? Because faith is what pleases God. Faith is important. Faith is what gets us through. Faith is what conquers the mountains. Faith is what gets you healed. Faith is what gets you helped. Faith is the answer every single time. Faith, faith, faith. Why do we preach faith so much? Because it's the answer. It's what pleases God, and it's what the answer is. You come to me and you say, Pastor Jeff, I got this problem, that problem, this and that problem. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you got this and that problems. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got much more than just this and that problems. It doesn't matter. The answer is still the same. The answer is faith. Praise the Lord. It's living in faith. Amen. What is faith? Faith is believing God at His word that He will get you through. When God says He is healer, we say He is healer. Amen. And I love it that He's healer, which gives us, He's not the one who healed. Do you know what I mean? He's not past tense, right? When you look through the Bible, God didn't say, I was the one who healed. But He says, I'm the one who healed you. But that covers all of time. Amen. But He is healer. He's actively the one who is healing. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is actively the one who's healing. He's the one who wants to continue. He is provider. He is actively the one who provides. Always, whenever it is, whenever the need arises, amen? This is why, and again, provision doesn't just mean financially. It doesn't just mean money. So many times when we say provision or we say provider or we say supply, people just think in the natural things, but supply is about fulfilling whatever it is you need, amen? Glory to God. And we are talking about living as we go. We want to live in this place of faith as we go. You're in Hebrews there, 10:38. Let's flip back to Hebrews 6 and verse 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. So faith is what we continue in. That's how we continue. It's how we live. You can show your faith. And what we're talking, again, most specifically about is godly faith. But this does apply to ungodly faith. There's a lot of people that live in worldly faith, which always leads to destruction, which always leads to loss, which always leads to not having enough, which always leads to not having the answers, which always, all this stuff, amen? This is what worldly faith leads to. If that's where you live, you're living in the wrong kind of faith. Come on over to the light, praise the Lord, and let's live like a good Jedi, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6:11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. How long are we supposed to show the same diligence? Till the end. That means you don't stop. It's going to get tough sometimes. Sometimes the pressure is going to be put on you. Sometimes you're not going to know where to go. Sometimes you're going to feel like you don't know what to do. It doesn't matter. We're going to be diligent to the end. Amen? Because what other option do we have? You know, I know I've said this a lot, and I'll say it again. I'll keep reminding people of it. What other option? We can live in faith, or we can give up and not have it anyways. So we might as well at least do the thing the Bible says. We might as well at least believe the word till the end. Amen. I'll tell you, I may be a fool, but I'll believe this word right until I stand before God, and I'm saying, Lord, why didn't this work? And He'll show me why I didn't work it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that is an actual thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to live in faith. Amen. I'm going to live to the end. I'm going to see it, and I'm going to be blessed in my life. Amen. Why? Because I've already seen it this much, and if God will do it this much, He's going to do it all the way. If he's willing to take me this far, as far as He said, you know, He said that He would take me at least as far. Actually, He said He'd take me a lot further, but He was willing to get me this far. Amen. So if He's been willing to get me this far from where I was, then by God, I know He'll take me all the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is why Christians need to smile more, because they need to get revelation of who their God is. Amen. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That you do not become sluggish in your faith. That's what it's talking about. You know, a lot of people that come in, they get really excited at first. And then after time goes by, the trial comes to rob them. And people start getting sluggish. They start, well, you know, I know. Once they were going to church, they were going to every service. And then they went to half the services. And then they don't even go to the simple, basic ones. Amen. I know people like this. All I see this, as I've been a pastor for now 4 years, I've seen this over and over and over and over again. I've seen many people who started off on fire for God. They're just excited for what He's doing, but they don't show the same show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. They start giving up. They start becoming sluggish. It starts becoming tough. It starts becoming difficult. Well, listen, life is tough. Life is difficult. It's the way it is. It's not that hard to get up, get yourself cleaned up, and get into church. It just isn't. I just know it isn't. Why? Because I do it every week. Amen. And if there's ever somebody who doesn't want to do something, I will not do something just because I don't want to do it. Even though it's something, have you ever been like that? I mean, I've had times where I've been sitting in front of the TV and I have to go to the bathroom, but I just won't get up because I don't feel like walking 10 feet to the bathroom. My bladder is like just like hurting. Yes, it's screaming my name, saying, Jeff, please take me to the bathroom. It's right there. You've got like at least 5 minutes of commercials. You can do it. And there's something inside of me that just says, no, I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? We've all been there. We've all been to that place where we just it would be so easy to do it. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. This is why places like McDonald's stay in business. Nobody really wants to eat that stuff. But most times it's just, yeah, I don't feel like going home and cooking. I don't feel like getting out of the car. So we're just going to go through the drive-thru and get something snarfy, put it in my body. I'll regret it later, but at least now I'll be happy. How many people live like, see, that's the way, we don't want to be like that with God though. Amen. But even if we are, we do it for other things, so we might as well just press through and get to the bathroom. Not that this is a bathroom. I don't want to call the house of God a bathroom, but you know what I'm saying. Well, it kind of is sometimes, because we flush a lot of crap out, don't we? Hallelujah. We're going to do that. Amen. We're just going to take care of business. Praise the Lord. I apologize for any kids in here. Maybe, parents that don't like their kids saying that. Well, just remember, kids, if you want to say words like crap, you have to go become a pastor to be able to do it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's kind of a joke, but, you know, not really, because I did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is so important. Faith and patience is how we inherit the promises. God is not a quick fix God. He is not a Burger King God, drive through, have it your way. He is not an overnight fix God. He isn't going to do it that way. It's not going to happen. If you came in seeking a quick fix, guess what? I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you right off the bat. It's not going to happen. My life did not change overnight. I did not become the spiritual faith giant that you see before you today overnight. That's a joke. Hallelujah. I didn't. Well, you can laugh. Praise the Lord. There's nothing better than when you make a bunch of people laugh at you. Hallelujah. Like when you tell. Praise God, hallelujah. But no, seriously, I didn't get to where I was overnight. I've gotten to a good place, a lot better than where I was at, amen? But I didn't get there overnight. It took faith and patience. And I didn't always think that I had the patience. I didn't always think that I had the faith. And guess what? I didn't. But because I was willing to keep going, because I was willing to keep to keep was, you know, it was about 1,000 times I'd fall down, but that one time I'd get back up. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. We ain't got to be perfect. We just got to keep pressing towards that goal. We just keep pressing. We don't give up. We're not going to let it go because we're not going to be those people. Amen? Faith and patience, we inherit the promises. It's through faith and patience only that we inherit the promises. What are the promises? The promise of blessing. The promise of healing. So, you know, Jesus didn't heal everybody instantly. A lot of people have that thought that he did, but he didn't. There were some people, the 10 lepers that he healed, they were healed as they went. They weren't healed instantly in the moment. They were healed later. Some people were healed at that hour, praise the Lord. Sometimes healing takes a process of time. And why does it do that? I don't know. I will tell you this, that most of the time when in the Bible, when you see miraculous healings that were instantaneous, were generally with people who didn't know anything about God. Yeah, they didn't know anything about God. They just knew enough to step out in faith because that was their only hope, and so that's what they did. They were healed. Generally speaking, and I've seen this even in the church, people that are healed in the church, they are healed by faith. It is by living as you go. It's living in faith as you go. And that's really what we're talking about here today. I don't want to get too far ahead in my message, but the truth of the matter is, you know, I was recently corrected on this by the Lord. Because I was always, when something would happen, that's when I would get activated, amen? That's when I would go after my healing. I'd start getting symptoms in my body, and so I'd go after being healed. But see, that's not the way God told us to do it. He told us to live. The just shall live by faith. So what he corrected me on is, you're going after healing, but what you need to do is live in healing. You need to live in prosperity. You need to live in freedom. You just need to live there. Hallelujah. Well, how do you do that? You do that by the words of your mouth, which we've been talking about. Amen? Last few weeks. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 30:19. Just go ahead and look at it up here. Write it down if you want to go look at it later. But what does it say here? It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. This is the Lord talking. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. You choose life. God says he has set life and death before us. This is why so many people have the question, why God? When you hear somebody say, why God, it's because they don't have revelation of this yet. It's because they don't have understanding. God is not up there pulling all the strings to make things happen. He is not everything in your life. Pastor Jeff, why do you repeat this all the time? Because people in this church, too, still come. I still come to me sometimes. Sometimes I go before the Lord. I'm like, Lord, why? And then he has to remind me of this. He is not pulling the strings. I choose life or I choose death by my actions. I choose things working out in my life or I choose them not working out. Now, that is not saying that everything that comes against a person is by their own fault. Jesus also told us that we have an enemy who is seeking to devour us, to kill us, to destroy us, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. But we choose, even in that moment, we choose because Jesus told us, the Bible tells us that Jesus robbed the devil of his power to harm us, yeah. Right? I can't remember the exact scriptural reference right now, but the Bible tells us that. Look it up. He told us that he has robbed the devil of his power to harm us. So where is the devil's power to harm us? In our choice. It's whether or not we allow the devil to walk all over us. Do we allow him to get through to us? Do we allow him to stop us from going forward in faith? Do we allow him to put those things in the past back on us? Do we allow that to happen? See, we do it all the time. People do it all the time. And things like unforgiveness. Praise the Lord. I was telling my mom last night as we were driving home, we were talking about some of the people from my past that I used to be real good friends with and stuff, and people left me and walked away from me, specifically when I became a Christian. But there are some people that did some pretty horrible things to me. And I told my mom, I said, the worst of them, I have learned that I've been able to completely absolve them of any sin against me. Even the worst thing that anybody has ever done, and people have done some rotten things, nasty things. I'm not going to get into all of what they are, but I imagine that many of you have gone through the same things. Have you ever had somebody do something just so horrible that was unforgivable? Praise the Lord. I've been there many times. My best friends. Praise the Lord. Those people that I was closest to, it's happened to me. It's happened to me time and time and time again. But I got to the place where I learned, because forgiveness, unforgiveness in my life only holds me back. It does nothing to them. If you don't forgive somebody, it does absolutely nothing to them. This is a trick of the devil. This is a choose life or choose death moment. Yeah, it's a choose life. So look at, think, I want everybody in here to think of something. Is there somebody in your life that you say, I just can't forgive? It does not affect them. See, you're not forgiving them because of what they did to you, but what you don't realize is your unforgiveness is keeping you in bondage from going forward in God. That could be the answer to your healing. That could be the, look at what it says here. Choose life. Oh, praise the Lord. Where was it? Pull it back up. Got it up there? Yeah, there we go. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Notice that your decisions do not just affect you, do they? They affect your children. Yeah. They can affect your children's children. Yeah. They can affect your great-great-grandchildren, praise the Lord. Yeah. That's the truth. Yeah. Why am I on all? I don't know why I'm on all this, because the Lord's directing us at something, amen? Like I said, my mom and I were just talking about it last night. Where was the last night we were talking about, right? On the way home from Corey. I had people that, and I know why I was talking about it in context, because I was also talking about it in context. My family just took a small vacation to the Big Apple, praise the Lord, Manhattan, New York City. And it's not a place that I didn't like it the first time at all. But we went back like a fool. No, not really like a fool. We enjoyed it more this time. It's a little bit more enjoyable the second time. I actually want to go back again at some point. It was kind of neat. Amen? It's not a place that I necessarily want to live. The reason this all came up is because I was sitting there thinking about, while we're there, I said to my wife, I said, I would like to believe, because there's no part of me, I like to visit, there's no part of me that wants to live there. In fact, every part of me wants to get not to live there. Fine for a few days, but I don't want to live there. Amen. But see, the thing is that, and part of it is the craziness, just intensity. There was, we read somewhere that there was 60,000 people per square mile. So if you can think about how many people, that's a lot of people. Amen. That's in Manhattan itself. But I said to my wife, I said, I would like to think that I would joyfully go anywhere that the Lord, even if he said go to Manhattan and start a church, I would like to think that I would joyfully do it. Not just do it willingly, but do it joyfully. Why? Because I know that the blessing of God is always there. That's why I got to a place where I could forgive people. Because I realized that me not forgiving them did absolutely nothing towards them. All it did was kept me back. And so that's why I joyfully forgive people. There's people that have done the rottenest things, and I won't say it because this is public, and I don't want to call anybody out or give somebody ammunition against somebody else or anything like that, because I would never want to do that, because that wouldn't be forgiveness either. But what my point is that people can do rotten things for you, but see, it's God who justifies us. It isn't them. They're not the ones. They don't have, and what we hold on to is what keeps us back. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In this church, when I say life, I'm not just talking about being alive. There are many who are alive, but they are dead. That's also what the scripture is talking about. There's many people that are alive. There's many Christians that are alive, but they're leading dead lives. How sad it is. Last night, again, I don't want to preach last night's sermon, but I was thinking about, we were talking about Jeremiah 29:11 in depth last night. And one of the things is that word thoughts, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. That word thoughts is actually also the word for plans and imaginations. We also see, I compared it to another place in Scripture. But what I was thinking about is, God is up there imagining good things for us. He's imagining good plans and good pathways for us. And how sad, can you imagine, have you ever thought about, is there any parent in here who thought about your child and you thought, man, I would just love to see them walk this path. I would love to see them, get into things that I never got into and have more money than I ever had and more ability. Has anyone ever thought that about their kid? Of course. That's what God's doing. He's sitting in heaven thinking about that for us. He's saying, I just want, how sad it must be to the Heavenly Father to say, I paid the way, I gave you Jesus, which enabled you to have entrance into all that I have for you. And people hold on to such little things. They hold on to something that doesn't even mean anything, because they can't see the big picture. The whole time God's looking, he's got all this for us, and we're just holding on. You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. You think about your own kids, and that's how God, Jesus compared that. He said our love for our own kids compared to God's is absolutely evil. It's evil because it's nowhere compared to it. It's not saying that our love is bad, but he's saying there's no comparison to our love and God's love. And yet we wouldn't do something horrible to our children. We would do anything for them. Heck, a lot of people would do it for kids that aren't even their own. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. God bless them too. Amen. There's people who give their lives for other people, and it's just absolutely amazing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We were talking about that the other day. I was getting my hair cut, Trish and I. We were talking about adoption and stuff like that, you know, and it's great in theory. It's kind of like having a dog. It's great in theory, but, you know, some people are dog people, some people are not. I'm not very much of a dog person. Praise the Lord. So if you ever hear that I got a dog, just hopefully I changed. Amen. But you know, it's the same thing with adoption. It's like the idea of it's a wonderful thing, but not everybody is suited to be able to do that. Not everybody has that grace or that ability, and it's amazing the people that are. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to Mark 11. Praise God. We're talking about living in faith. We're talking about living as we go. Amen. We're talking about living in faith as we go. Hallelujah. Mark 11, verse 12. Praise God. Now, we're going to see an example here. Somebody who lived in faith as they went. Amen. You know, part of living in faith as you go means that you come up against obstacles. You come up against trials. You come up against things that are opposite of what you had planned for or intended. And that you're able to just skip on past it because you know the answer already. You know what I mean? And this, we're going to see an example of how our Lord lived. And that's exactly how we're supposed to. Amen? Now, in verse 12, it says, Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where was I? And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Praise the Lord. Now that's the first part we have to, the first part of this account. They went on to do other things. But there's some things we see, things we need to understand. First of all, the season, the thing we do know about figs, if you study this out, is that when a fig tree has leaves, it should also have figs. And so Jesus didn't just walk up to a tree and curse it because it was out of season and it wasn't, there shouldn't have been any figs. But you understand this again through study on these things. I fortunately didn't have to study all this out. I was shown it in other words, praise the Lord. So even though we see season for figs, you know, we have to understand the whole thing in context of what's going on. So Jesus wasn't just killing a tree, but what this represents, it's not even about the tree that matters. Jesus approached this tree, and as he approached it, expecting to get something off of it, it presented him with nothing. In other words, that's an example in our own lives. And when we're going through life and we're expecting something to happen or we're expecting something on the other side, and when we get to that point, have you ever been there? You get to that point and you're like, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I was desiring. This is where a lot of Christians, this is where the choosing life and choosing death comes into play. Because Jesus chose life here. Jesus saw lack in his life, and what did he do? He rebuked the lack. He rebuked the lack. That's exactly what he was doing here. He's coming against lack. He's saying, no, I don't even accept lack. It rose up, I rebuked the lack. That thing, that source of lack, he cursed the source of lack in his life. He cursed the source of it. He didn't cry about it. He moved on. He went on about his day. He went on to do what he was going to do. Praise the Lord. Did he? I don't know. I don't know if it really tells us there if he ended up eating anything that day or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is how Jesus responded to the lack. You know, sometimes you're going to have to skip a meal, and that's okay. Sometimes the meal isn't going to happen on time. You know, my wife is one of those people, God bless her, she's one of those people that she likes to have everything in order, and like Rachel was talking about, announcements, she likes to have everything in order and everything set up just right, and that's awesome. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome trait to have. But I'm going to tell you what right now, it can also hinder them sometimes, people who are like that, because when things aren't in that, it kind of gets them all riled up, amen? Praise the Lord. That's where people like me come in. Amen. That's why my wife and I are a great balance, because my wife's got it all figured out and I don't care. You know what I'm talking about? Stuff. I don't need to talk about her stuff. I always care about my wife's stuff. Any smart man would care about his wife's stuff. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is that I a lot of things I don't care about. Praise the Lord. I just like, you know, we were driving. I said this, and you can tell I'm getting older because my trips are getting shorter and shorter. And what I mean by that is I took a 6.5-hour drive this week, and I took it over 2 days. Praise the Lord. I was expecting to be back early Friday, but actually I was expecting to be back late Thursday. I ended up coming back almost late on Friday, praise the Lord. So we just took time, and with a cabinet too, strapped to the hood of my car. That's another story, but praise the Lord. Adventures in Michnerland. Welcome to it. Hallelujah. But at any rate, there's that other aspect. Sometimes we gotta not be moved by those things as well. When everything doesn't go according to plan, we gotta not be moved by it. Pastoring a church, starting a church, has taught me that. You can't just be moved by everything. Sometimes the worship team isn't going to get it perfect, especially when your worship leader is 16 years old. Yeah, when we started the church, my worship leader was 16 years old. Caleb got up, he looked like the kid in the Mini Weeds commercial. Remember those? The one, all of a sudden, it's the kid in the parents' clothes. And all, that's how he looked up there drumming, you know, the arms. Not quite, but he didn't quite fit into his clothes. You know, kids were doing it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And we didn't know what we were doing either. Not everything was perfect. It didn't need to be perfect because we were following the plan of God. See, because in the world, we're going to have tribulation. In the world, we're going to have trial. In the world, we're going to have opposition. But in God, God always, we trust in him. And that's the key component here. If we live in that place of faith, if we go through life always troubled, then we're always going to be troubled. We're always going to see trouble. But if we look at life through faith, even when trouble's there, it doesn't affect you because the trial isn't bigger than your God. That's the place where I endeavor to live in at all times. We didn't budget for an extra night hotel room. But you know what I did budget for in my life? Peace. And I didn't have peace driving any further because I just didn't want to. I'd rather lay in bed. So guess what I did? We got a hotel room. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. That simple. See, you people get moved by little things all the time. People get moved by amounts of money. There's people that, listen, it would have been wrong if I drove all night long. But the principle is sometimes we need to just get back and relax. Sometimes we need to just let it go. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to start singing that song, but maybe we need to just let it go. Hallelujah. Just let it. I'm feeling it coming on. Don't push me here. Woo. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We need to just let it go and move on. We need to just get into the things that God has for us. God operates in a place of peace and order. The Bible tells us, let all things be done decently and in order. It means as much as it's up to you. God said, the Bible says, as much as it's up to you, live in peace with all men at all times. As much as it's up to you. Right. People say, well, is it up to me? A lot of times it is up to you. Yeah, you know why? Because I've had people be snarky with me. I'll tell you what, I am wholly different than I was 5-10 years ago. Because I was a person that if you were snarky to me, oh my God. You know, there's a lot of things I don't say. And you guys don't understand, but that's not the way I always was. Because I was a person who liked to say what I was thinking, and I said it as much as I liked to think it, and I didn't care what anyone else thought about it. Amen. I'd get in your face and say it. Hallelujah. I didn't care. I just, if you said something stupid, I'd tell you I might smack you for it too. Hallelujah. That's the way that I was. I don't do that anymore. Why? Because the peace of God operates in me now. Because there's times when, you know something, I hear things, and I'm just like, you know, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And you just want to correct people. And listen, if you, especially in this great, wonderful day and age we live in today of all this wonderful technology and social media and all these things, there's lots of opportunity to say dumb things. And people take as much opportunity as they can to do it. Amen? But we see, I hear people saying this stuff, saying stuff, and you want to pounce on them, but you don't because of peace. You know, somebody will say something to you that's nasty, and sometimes you just realize it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to say. You just keep your mouth closed. Why? Because the lack of peace, the loss of peace isn't worth it. And we're not preaching about peace, but we are talking about living in faith. Because here's the thing. If you start getting into all this other stuff, you can't live in God's faith because God's faith takes you being in a place of being righteous. Not being righteous will not allow you to live in faith. Amen. So if you're out there living in sin, you can't live in faith. How do I know this? Because the Bible says so. You can't be in faith and be in sin at the same time. Amen? Because you can't be in a place of faith if you are in a place where you are not acceptable to God. If you know that you're doing something wrong, if the Lord's dealing with you, You know, I talked to a precious man last night, and Corey's only been coming there, him and his wife. They're just, I think they started coming the week before we got into the new building. Amen. But they haven't been coming very long, but they're really, and he's actually a former pastor, older gentleman, is in his 70s, you know. He's just a sweet man, and he just wanted a good Bible teaching church. Amen. And he was raised in kind of the same camp we are. But anyways, I was just talking to him, you know. He's like, you know, when... He was talking about when he got saved and the things that brought him into the Lord. And people didn't just come up to him and start nailing him for everything that he was doing wrong. And he was living a life. You know, he was a boozer. He was a smoker. He was doing all these heavy things. And I'm not saying that people that do these things are bad people. I'm just saying that they're doing things that are unrighteous before the Lord. And so he was telling me about this. And I said, yeah, you know, when I came into family church, I was the same way. And in fact, one of the things that kept me was I didn't sit there. People didn't sit there tearing me apart saying everything I was doing wrong. Listen, we all know what we're doing wrong. Amen? Or for the most part, when we're doing something wrong. Amen? But when we're doing something that's not pleasing to God, He'll let us know. Isn't that? Now, it's different when you preach from the pulpit. Of course, there's going to be things that come out, and that's because the Holy Spirit, through the minister, will be hammering things sometimes. And that's fine. He's going to hammer on you sometimes, and praise the Lord, I got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. We all got to deal with it. Praise the Lord, that's the way it is. But, you know, sometimes when we're talking one-on-one, it's not my job to just go into your life and start cleaning everything up. My job is to preach you the word, and your job is to listen and do the word. Amen? And so, at any rate, we were talking about how sweet it was that people didn't do that, and that's part of the reason that kept us. Now, we are not a church that is easy on sin or accepting of sin. Amen? And we're not, because if somebody is accepting of sin, then they can't live in the blessing of the Lord. Everything that you compromise, that you know that you're not supposed to do, or that you know you're supposed to stay away from, every one of those things you compromise, you lower your ability to use faith. And to the point, and some people to the point where they can't use faith at all. There's some Christians that, because they never heed the word of God, they never heed what's listened or what's preached, they never walk into what God has for them. Nothing. Actually, when I was preparing yesterday's sermon, the Lord reminded me of something that was actually a little bit sad. And I haven't preached on it in a while, probably will be soon just because it's been coming up a lot lately. But Jesus talked about four different types of ground in people that go to church. Four different types of ground. So all of us, we're one of four different kinds of ground. Out of those four different types of ground, only one kind ever produces anything. So one fourth of every person that comes to church will ever produce anything at all. Jesus said this. Sometimes I'll talk about other pastors about issues in my church, like if there's issues that I'm dealing with or whatever. And I had this recently. I was talking to one pastor about it, and I don't, you know, like use names, pull up pictures of anybody or anything like that. We're just talking about things that you notice, you know, different things. It's like, because as pastors, you want to see how other pastors have dealt with it or whatever, you know, stuff like that. And I brought up things, and one time I was talking about this one situation, and the pastor said to me, he's like, "Have you ever thought that maybe they're just not good ground?" And I was like, it just like hit me. I was like, wow. I mean, I see potential. Because as a pastor, I see great potential in people. I see what the Lord has for people. But at the same time, sometimes people just won't be good ground. And they'll never walk in all that. That's free, no charge. I don't know why we got in all that, but we did. Amen. So you were in verse 14. Let's skip on down to verse 20, because he kind of went somewhere. And now he's coming back to this. We should know these scriptures coming up. Praise the Lord. "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" And we know where this is going, right? We've been here before. So now we see that Jesus had cursed the fig tree. The disciples were with him. But just because the disciples were with him doesn't mean they had the same faith as him. Just because you sit here in church doesn't mean you're going to have the same faith as the one leading the church. Doesn't mean you'll have the same faith as your neighbor. It depends. It determines whether or not we choose life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So they noticed that it was, and they were kind of surprised by this. Jesus, however, was not surprised. What did he say? He said, "Have faith in God." Jesus lived in a place of faith. This is why Jesus saw the types of miracles and the things that he did. Do you realize that Jesus came here to live as a man? He put down his godhood, if you want to call it that, his deity. He laid that down to become a man to show us that it was possible. That's what he did here. Jesus was not living as God on earth. Now, he was full of the Holy Spirit. We do know that. But people got full of the Holy Spirit afterwards, or at least should have. Amen? So we understand this about Jesus. Jesus walked around as a man full of the Holy Spirit. That's really important to understand. Jesus didn't walk around as God. He didn't walk around saying, by the power of God, I am God. Glory to God. And just go, you know, he said, yes, I mean, he gave credit to God by the Holy Spirit. But he didn't do things as God. Do you understand the difference? I mean, there's a difference between somebody coming in the name of and then somebody being that person being there. Amen? You know, it's kind of like if a lot of people, if you were at a concert or something, you got a backstage pass and you went there to see, you know, whoever you were there to see. I don't know, pick one. Whoever you like, keep it to yourself, that's fine. Praise the Lord. So you're there to see somebody, and they send somebody out, and they said, well, I'm the spokesman for this person. You wouldn't be any happier. Be like, I paid for backstage pass tickets. I want to see so-and-so, right? That's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like, but so it's different than God being here himself doing it, or if Jesus had come in as God. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I'm confusing myself a little bit, but you understand where I'm going. Praise the Lord. So he came to live as a man to show us that you can live as a man and still do godly things because of the Holy Spirit which resides in us. Amen? Jesus lived in a place of faith. Have faith in God, he said. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Doubting is not faith. If you doubt whether or not it will happen, you are not in the place of faith. You won't receive. You won't receive that way. God does not do miracles by accident. He doesn't. There's no miracles. Miracles don't just happen. They don't just like all of a sudden, oh, there's a miracle. Praise God. God is good. No, that's not the way that it works. Actually, if that's the way that happened, God wouldn't be good. He wouldn't be good if he just randomly did it wherever and didn't care about anything else. No, God has given us the ability to walk in miracle-working power. God is giving us the ability to live a life that is full, to live a life that is worth living. Amen? He has given us this ability within us. That is a God who cares. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, you can do everything for your children, everything for them. But when they grow up and they go out and they want to have their own families and their own lives and they want to live for themselves, praise the Lord, they might not be able to if you always did everything for them. If your kids don't know how to clean, if they don't know how to cook, they're not going to live a very happy life. And they're certainly not going to be a blessing to a spouse. If your kids don't know anything about work, they aren't going to know what it means to, you know, we've seen this in our own kids because we like to bless our kids. But there's times where we need to withhold too. Yeah, and what I mean by withhold is not keep it back from them forever, but make them understand that, you know something, $20 means something. Because it took work to get it, amen? Most people don't make $20 an hour, and that's not that much. $20 is nothing. $20 an hour in this day and age is nothing. Most people don't make that much. That's the truth. And so kids have to understand the value of $20. They have to understand the values of these things. But God would be a bad God if he didn't do things this way. But God, he put these things in us so we could live this way. The downside to this, if there is one, if you want to call it that, is that if people don't live in faith, then they don't receive what God has for them. He paid for it. Jesus did it all. He already did it. You know, 2 Peter 2.24, is it 2 Peter 2.24, I think, says, by his stripes we were healed. It says we were healed. By his stripes we were. By his stripes we were healed. Amen? If you got an arm broken and you went to the hospital and they said it, you would say, by the hospital I got my arm set, right? It happened at that moment when they said it, right? By his stripes you were healed. He said you were healed. It's past tense. You were already healed then. So why are God's people not walking in healing? It's because they don't search to walk in healing. They search to get healing when they need it instead of living in healing. Am I making sense? It matters as we go that do we live in what God has provided for us, or do we live and then we just wait for that moment? This is why it's important to stay before the Word. You see, because I didn't really have full concept of this until just recently. I'm preaching healing all the time. I'm preaching about God's goodness all the time, and I didn't have the full revelation of it yet. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But as I stay in the Word, as I stay before God, as I stay in services, as I hear His Word over and over, every once in a while, God can get through to even me. Hallelujah. So that's why we tell people, this is why the importance of staying right before God and staying in His Word and staying before His Word, where you're hearing His Word, you're seeing His Word, you're taking His Word in, it's changing you. This is why this stuff is important, because then His people can live by faith. The just shall live by faith and faith alone. They're not going to live by all the other stuff. They're not going to live, but people, they don't know. They just come to God and they crapshoot all the time. They take chances. They try. They use God like a lucky rabbit's foot. Maybe He will. Maybe He won't. That's no way to live, man. And that's not a good God. Can you honestly think, if you were a parent and you acted the way most people think God acts towards His children, if you were a parent doing that to your kids, you would want that person in jail. Absolutely. You would not look at a parent who says to their kids, "Well, you're hungry today, but I might feed you. I might not." Yeah, some people think, well, God could just fix all those people in poverty. I actually heard a minister talking about this. Somebody asked him, if God is so good, then why do these people over here live in poverty? And then this actually minister had a really good answer for him. He said, because God put you on the earth to make sure that they didn't. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people in this country think they're poor. They have no idea what poverty is. We are so spoiled in this country. The poor in this country live better than the rich in other countries. I mean, it's unreal. There is not poverty in this country. Everybody is constantly crying poverty in this country, but there is not poverty in this country. You do not know what it's like. You know, we have snow out there and stuff like that, but we also have these nice warm buildings that are mostly sealed up, and if we don't, guess what? The county will come in and help you. Or the state will come in and help you. Yeah, hallelujah. We drove through places that were full this week, is where we were and everything. We drove through places that were miles, blocks after blocks after blocks of Section 8 housing. People didn't pay for brand new housing. Yeah. And people don't pay a dime for it. You cannot tell me people in this country are poor. There is no such thing as poverty in this country. Just because you can't go out and get a smartphone doesn't mean you're poor. Just because you can't go out and buy a brand new car does not mean you're poor. Do you have any car? Do you have access to any car? You're already richer than people in most countries. Yeah. I'm talking most people. We are so spoiled in this country, we don't even understand. Only in this country can poor people be fat. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it because it's the truth. Hallelujah. Yeah, we have an obesity problem in this country, and a lot of it is in people who think they're poverty. Listen, I am not talking from a, listen, I can talk from a place of not being too insulting, because I'm not exactly thin and trim. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is that I'm not saying it to come down on people, but I'm pointing out the truth in things. People all the time, they're talking, the number one problem is about what the poor don't have in this country. It's so amazing to me that people actually talk about it's because they have no idea the truth. They have no idea what the truth is. The poor in this country are not, they don't go hungry. They are full. There's always places. There's soup kitchens. There's government programs. There's people that know how to work the system so well. They go into churches and they tell people in churches how the church can get them more money. Yeah. There is not poor in this country. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are people living under what God has for them in this country, and that's wholly different. Amen? There are people in this world that have no access to any health care whatsoever. There are people in this world that have no idea what a doctor is because they've never seen one. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's not the case around here, is it? No, praise. That's just the truth. But see, people get spoiled in the way they live. And when they get spoiled in the way they live, they start projecting that on God and thinking that somehow this is the way. God is going to have a lot. There's going to be a lot of come to Jesus moments when people get to heaven. Yeah. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, my stepfather used to talk to me about come to Jesus moments. You know what those are? He used to say those are moments of reckoning. You've been doing something wrong. You've been doing something bad, and all of a sudden, whack! That's a come to Jesus moment right there. There's going to be a lot of those when people stand before the Lord. There's going to be a lot of moments where people are like, oh. What do you think the Bible says? He's going to wipe away every tear. Those tears aren't happy because I'm so happy to be here. Those tears are because God is going to show each and every one of us what He had for us, and we're going to give an account for how we lived our life before the Lord. Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be there before us with the scars in His hands, the scars on His feet, the scars on His head, and the scars all over His back. He's going to be standing there before us, and he's going to be like, and it was more important for you to go to the ball game. It was more important for you to do this. It was more important for you to do that. Oh, you had to have that. You had to have that extra nice thing, so somebody else went without. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I wanted to plant 50 churches in the area, but we couldn't get people to join up to one, to pay for one. Yeah. God's going to do it through people. Yeah. We live in faith, amen? Praise the Lord. Part of faith is knowing God is going to always, that we can't put out without God putting back into us. Whatever it is. Whatever it is we're putting out, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's energy, whatever it is. Our talents, what we're able to do, praise God. That's truth. So without faith, we understand it's impossible to please God. And we see this, that we're also not going to receive from God without faith. We're not going to receive from Him if we don't live in that place of faith. It's time that we start living in faith. I had these questions written down. Do you choose life? Do you live in healing? Do you live in prosperity? Do you live in love? Do you live in joy? Do you live in peace? All these things are choices. Love is a choice. The Bible tells us this. Actually, the true definition of love is all about what you decide. It's a choice. People talking all the time about, you can't get mad at people for loving who they love. No, because you know what? Those people who love who they love them 1 minute and then the next minute, I fell out of love with them. How do we know this? Because you look at what the divorce rate is. If people don't know what love is, because love doesn't just say, well, I loved you this week, but next week I got mad at you because all of a sudden you grew a hair in a place I didn't like, and I don't like to look at that hair there anymore. So guess what? Oh, you got a mole in the middle of your forehead now, so I can't love you anymore. That's the way people are. That's as fickle as people are. They talk about love. They want to talk about what love is, and yet 1 week they love somebody, and next week they don't. I love Hollywood stars. They'll tell us all about love, right? And not one of them can stay married for more than 6 months. They know what love is. They don't have any clue what love is. They know what lust is. Most people know what lust is. There's a big difference between lust. Love is not feeling something towards somebody. Yeah. Amen? Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's people I haven't felt things towards, but I love them. How do I know? Because I pastor a church. Yeah, because there's people that sometimes they come in and they're not exactly your fit. They're not exactly your cup of tea. It doesn't matter. I preach to them just the same. Yeah. I don't care. That's why I tell people, I don't care what, don't tell me what you put in the offering. I don't want to know. I don't care what you give. Right. I don't care. You give. I preach the word, I teach you the truth, and you decide whether or not you want to live in it. Right. Praise the Lord. I don't want to know. Why? Because then I'll preach different. I'm going to say I would, but there's human tendency to. And the Bible warns against that stuff. I never want to preach according to stuff like that. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. But do we choose to live in these things? Do we choose to live? I'm going to stick on that love thing for a minute because so many people have lost this. I fell out of love. I've heard that before. I almost said a really bad word. It's bull. It's bad bull. Hallelujah. It's bad, bad bull. That's not truth. You don't fall out of love with somebody. A good example of true love is what you feel, what a normal person feels towards their child. Your child can do the dumbest of things, and don't you still love them? I mean, they can do the most horrible things, and you still love them. But your spouse can do something just like slightly stupid, and then all of a sudden you just, well, I'm just falling out of love. Maybe they do that something stupid over and over and over. Love forbears that. True love lets that go. Amen? Yeah, like if I loved according to the world's standards, I got to really be careful because my old way of talking is about to come back into the service. Amen? People getting nervous in the service. You're about to find out what's, whoo, glory to God. We just got to watch that. We got to keep a watch over my mouth. Hallelujah. Keep a watch over my mouth. God, don't let me say something stupid here. But praise the Lord. But if we go by people's standard of what love is in the world, anything goes. Yeah. That's why anything goes in the world. Yeah. You know why? Because it's real easy in a moment to love somebody, isn't it? Isn't it real easy? Don't they even call it making love. You see that in the movie. It ain't making love. It's making lust. It isn't making love. That has nothing to do with love. See, this is what people stinking thinking. We got to clean that up. We got to get them thinking right. Love is not just because you have some goofy feeling for 5 minutes. That will change, I guarantee it. Anybody been married for more than 10 minutes? Hallelujah. It changes, don't it? But my wife and I, we are more in love today than we have ever been. Why? Because both of us look better than we did when we got together. That certainly ain't the truth. I'm just going to tell you right now, she would say the whole same thing. She would not be even getting mad at me for saying that because she knows she don't look the same. She knows that I don't look the same. But my wife still looks at me and I'm her man and she gets excited about that. I still look at her and she's my woman and I get excited about that. Praise the Lord. That because we choose to love each other. We choose that, you know what? Just because something prettier or something better looking, more handsome or something stronger or something more muscular, that means nothing. Praise the Lord. That's thinking like children think. And that's why we don't let children make decisions that alter their lives for the rest of their lives, because they're not capable of making those decisions yet, because they don't know. I remember when I was 16 years old, I knew I was in love. Oh, glory to God, I was in love. We heard this song while we were away. You remember, there's a song called Unanswered Prayers, a country song. I don't know if any of you ever heard it. But the gist of the song is, I thank God for unanswered prayers. And the whole story of the song is a guy singing about, like, him and his wife that he's been married to for many years. They go to a high school game, and at that game he meets up with his old high school flame. And they run into each other, and he remembers praying back then. Have you ever been there when you're 16 years old and you got this girl or this guy that you just love, and you're just like, oh, Lord, if you just let me live with them forever. And, the whole premise is that God didn't answer that prayer, and so it was a good thing because he's more in love with his wife, and he's so glad he's got his wife. Yeah, absolutely. I prayed for a lot of women, I'm going to tell you, over the years. I did. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I prayed for a lot of women. Thank God. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. He showed his love by saying no. Praise the Lord. Thank God he didn't answer some of them prayers. Why? Because I was an idiot. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was looking at the natural going, oh, this is good for now. Why don't you give me some? I want this forever. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't get that forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I ain't talking about because of the way it looks now. I don't know how it looks. I don't want the way it looks now. I just hear things. I hear about how it acts now. And I don't want how it acts now. I wouldn't want that in my life because I wouldn't be doing this. Amen. I wouldn't be living in the blessing of God. One of the one reasons I can live in the blessing of God is because I married right. Yeah, amen. My wife pushes me that way. Amen. I love her for that. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's what you choose to do. Amen. You can choose to love someone or you can choose not to love someone. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're happy with all that. Praise the Lord. So many people try to live by their circumstances. They live by their jobs. They live by what they can do instead of living by what God has already done. What God has made you to be. God has made you superheroes. God, if we could understand that. Peter walked on water. That is supernatural. It happened. Peter walked on water. He wasn't even Jesus. He walked on water. He was a fisherman. Fishermen didn't give you any more props to walk on water than anybody else. Amen? Just because you're a fisherman doesn't mean you can walk on water now because you spend all this time on the water. Amen? In fact, a fisherman would know that he probably can't. He would know better than you and I that you can't walk on water without supernatural things coming. God has made us superheroes. He's given us abilities beyond our human capability, and yet we still revert and go back to our own human selves. We still look inwardly for the answers, and when I mean inwardly, I don't mean inwardly at the Spirit, but inwardly at who we are or what we're capable of. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, I could never pastor. I can't say that enough. I could never pastor on my own ability. Amen? James 2:22 says, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Works is a deed, it's doing, it means that which one undertakes to do. Faith works with what we do, amen? It doesn't just work by itself, it works with how we apply it. The beginning of faith is saying, the end of it is doing. Last couple weeks I've talked in here about you can't have more than what you say, and that's the truth. But you have to do something with what you say. You can't just say, Lord, I believe that 65 Westlake Road is paid in full. You got to do something to make it happen. And then God's miracle working power will come in, and that's when God's power works on the backside of all that. See, you do what you know to do, you speak it, you do it, and then God comes in and supplies it. That's how he works. That's how he works with everything, amen? God doesn't do anything except through human hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:11. Go ahead and turn there. So we're getting close to, I had no choice. We're getting close there. I suppose I do have a choice, but I want you all to come back next week too. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians. See, there's so much stuff. Even as I put these messages together, like for what I preach. There's so much more that we could get into. And it just makes me want to have, like, seriously, I understand why, you know, the Sermon on the Mount was like 3 days long or something like that. You know what I mean? Paul preached for hours and hours and hours, days and stuff. You know, people, I understand how they do that is all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I'm just saying I understand how they do that. Because there's so much revelation and we're trying to get it all out. Amen? Well, think about when you miss. Seriously, think about what you could miss. In just a course of time, I'll tell you. There was a few weeks ago, we were getting ready for Corey and doing things there, so I had to miss my pastor's midweek service, which I don't like missing. I go there almost every week, unless there's some reason that I absolutely can't. I miss my pastor's midweek service, and even when I sent him a message, saying, Pastor, I'm sorry, I just won't be there tonight because I got all this other stuff that, you know, and working in the ministry, you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not just lollygagging, just missing a church service. I'm missing one of four in a week, you know what I'm talking about. So at any rate, but I still feel bad about it. So I miss it, and he told me about the sermon or the service later on, and I'm like, oh man, I would have done anything to go back in time to go to that service. Even skipped out on what I had to do. Oh yeah. And I just thought about it. He's like, I almost told you beforehand that you didn't want to miss it because I knew you would love the service in particular. But he said, you know, I don't ever want to lead you that way. And thank God for it. But at the same time, I wish he would have, because I wish I would have known and would have been there. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:11. Now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. This scripture, is these scriptures are so amazing. God will accept, first you have to have a willing mind to do something. You have to desire to do something. If there's an offering, you have to desire to give into it. You have to desire it first, or you'll never will. But when God accepts it according to where you're at, though, you say, "Lord, I want to give into this." And my wife and I, we told you about that. We did that. We wanted to give this certain amount, and we didn't have it. And so we went before the Lord and said, "Lord, we want to do this," but He accepted us because we were willing to do what we had, and then we worked towards it until we had the whole thing in. And God met up with us and allowed us to do that whole thing, and then He blessed us beyond that. See, it's accepted according to what one is willing to do first. We have to live this way. We have to live. We have to live in such a way that we don't always have the answer, but we live in such a way that we know the answer is there. We have to live in such a way that we know that there is an outcome that's in our favor if we stay with it. Does that make sense? It's accepted according to what we don't have because of what we will believe, what we'll trust God for. Does that make sense? What we need to live in that place of faith instead of being people who are constantly turned instantly towards the negative. Instantly being, oh, it's not going to work out. It's not working out. And I understand the pressure comes on you. The pressure wants to move you. Oh, I can't even get through this, so I'm not going to try. The pressure comes on you, it tries to move you, and wants to get you rocked. That's why the pressure comes. But listen, if we don't succumb to it, if we just decide we're going to live in faith, then we will see those things. And how do we live in faith? We do it by doing those things that we know to do. We put the word to practice. We listen to the word. We hear the word. You know, sometimes we go back. I listen to some of my own sermons sometimes because I knew something came out in it that I needed for myself. And so I go back and re-listen to it, not because I even like to hear myself, because I don't. I have to disconnect myself from that. But the point is that sometimes that's why we post those things online, so people do go back and listen to them and get that more filling so that they walk in a greater level. God is always, we don't have to be at the greatest level to start with, but God will take us there if we're willing to go. So we take each step as we know to do it. So we hear the word and we do it. Amen? We start moving towards those things that God has for us because He's got great things for us. He wants us to walk in them. We have to expect it. We have to live in such a way that we know God is going to come through always if we point our direction towards Him. Amen? So if we walk towards Him, we'll walk on the water, but if we don't, we're going to sink. Amen? Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth, Lord. We thank You for all the things that You have for us. We thank you, Lord, for nice warm houses. We thank you, Lord, for the food in our bellies, Lord. We thank you for the ability to be a nation that has access. Lord, that we know that it's that you are an overflowing God, and so you've put us in a place. But Lord, we're going to determine to be people that use that access for good. We're going to use that access. We're not going to use our ability to speak as ways of complaining and ways of just looking for to tear things down. But Lord, we're going to use our words for just what you said. We're going to look to be building things up. We're going to build the kingdom around us. We're going to usher in the kingdom of God. Lord, this is how we're going to be. Father, we're going to endeavor to be after you in all things and to follow you into all things. And most importantly, Lord, we want to live in faith. Father, because we know that when we live in faith, that you're blessed. And when you're blessed, we're blessed. And we're all blessed, blessed, God. We just love it. We thank you for it. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you're not a bad father or not a bad parent, but you're the best of parents. You're our greatest example. And Lord, as we live, we're going to live in all that you have for us. Father, we praise you and worship you. Praise you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. If there's anybody, I want to give the opportunity. It's so important. The first and most important step to living for God is to actually become his child. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. This is the first, the doorway into all God has for you. You can't get there any other way. Prayers don't work unless you are a person who has received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus today and you'd like to, it's real simple. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Just search your heart. Do you know that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? And if the answer to that is no, then you need to get sure. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Praise the Lord. So if that's you, what we're going to do is we're going to have you raise your hand. I'll have you put it right back down when I see it, and we'll all pray a prayer together. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. You can put that hand down. Thank you. Hallelujah. Is there any other hands? Is there anyone else that wants to receive the Lord today? We got one more opportunity. We always give an opportunity for salvation, but also for if you've been saved, but you maybe have been living wrong and you want to come back. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes or you just haven't maybe been the best Christian that you were supposed to be, but I mean you completely walked away from God. There's a difference. Amen. But God will accept you back. So if that's you and you want to come back to the Lord, go ahead and raise your hand. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can put that hand down. Thank you. We're going to pray a prayer together, and I ask you all to pray with me. And if you didn't raise your hand and you wanted to receive any of these, but you're just too shy, you know, it's not the raising of the hand does it, but it's the prayer of faith coming out of your mouth and what you believe in your heart. So if you pray this out loud just and believe it in your heart, that God will hear your prayer. So just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, well, thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you for your Son, that he died for me so I could live for you. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God.